This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 39 to 43. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, that I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thanks, Miranda. So Phil is clearly coming to speak to us now. He's just coming up. So don't forget, young people, children, if you want to go out during Phil's talk and do a pebble, if you haven't done one already, please feel free to do that. I'll just pray with Phil then before he starts. Heavenly Father, thank you for Phil. And I pray now that you would take his preparation, you would take his thoughts, you would take his words, and you'd work them all together, and that you would speak to each one of us in our hearts as you want to, and that we would receive your word and it will make a difference in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mick. Good morning, all. Lovely to see you this morning. So we're in the middle of a series all about peace, and right in the middle comes this reading. Well, I want to tell you about something that happened this summer. So this summer, my family and I were on holiday in Osmotherley, which is a village up near Thirsk, Pickering, in that kind of area. We were staying at this campsite, and now Ted, my four-year-old, he had been given some money from his grandparents to buy something while he was on holiday. And this campsite that we were staying on had one of those little shops that campsites sometimes have. It sells sweets and it sells maybe tent pegs and odd bits and bobs. But it also had this wonderful display of what you might call kind of pocket money items. So you could buy bouncy balls and those little stretchy figures and all kinds of things. And on about the third day of the holiday, me and Ted walked through the campsite, and we went to the little shop on the campsite to spend Ted's holiday money. And we walked into this little shop, and a whole wall was full of all these kind of treats. But Ted's eye was focused on one particular toy, and one toy only. He only had eyes for this object. A sword. There was a bucket of them on the floor, and they were all sticking out. And I would say they were gleaming, but they were plastic, so they weren't gleaming that much. But I'm sure in his mind, they were gleaming. And they were calling to him, Ted, you must take upon you the sword, for you are a mighty warrior. Because I think deep within Ted, he feels he's a mighty warrior. And so he went for the sword. And he loves the sword. In fact, this isn't his sword. This is his sister's. His sister bought one as well. Because Ted's is not in this state. Ted's is bent. Because it's been in so many battles against his sister's. I think this reading this morning is quite appropriate, I think. So I tried to bring Ted's this morning. I was walking out of the house with it, and he spotted it. So he took it off me. But thankfully, Lucy very kindly lent me her sword. Jesus says in this passage, do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? It's a question to his disciples. And we probably think, yes, we do think you've come to bring peace on earth. That's exactly what we think you've come to do. Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth, he says. And we go, yeah. He says, no. I tell you, I have come to bring division. And in fact, in the Matthew version, it says, I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. And not a plastic sword either. What's going on in this passage? Because for the past few weeks, we've been looking at the theme of peace, about how Jesus brings us peace, about how we can receive peace in all situations through God, of how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so it would seem the obvious answer to this question is yes, surely you've come to bring peace on earth. But yet he says, no, I've come to bring division. Or in that Matthew passage, I've come to bring a sword. So what is happening in this passage? Lucy, could you come forward and hold your sword? I said I was going to get a volunteer, And Lucy was quite keen that she be the volunteer. She didn't want anyone else touching her sword. So I'm going to get Lucy to come forward now and hold her sword. So Lucy, what is your sword made out of?
Plastic.
Okay, but I want you to imagine that it's not made out of plastic. I want you to imagine that it's made out of some sort of metal. And it's really heavy, and it's really sharp. Okay, can you imagine that? Can you use your imagination? I want you all to use your imagination as well. This plastic sword is, in fact, not a plastic sword. It's a very heavy, very sharp metal sword. Okay, Lucy, and now I've got some things that you might want to use your sword for. So here's an envelope. It says "for you" on it, so it's obviously for you. And I want you to, would you use your huge metal sharp sword to open this envelope? Do you think that would be a good idea? No, maybe not. Okay, so forget the envelope. What about, here we have some bread and some chocolate spread. I know you like chocolate spread. Do you think it would be a good idea to use your huge, heavy, sharp metal sword to put some chocolate spread on this piece of bread? It wouldn't fit. No, you maybe get the tip of it in the jar, and then you might chop my hand off if I'm holding this. So that's not a good idea. Let's see if there's anything else. What about the final object? Could be this apple. Maybe you could use it to chop the apple. I suppose you could do, but not while I'm holding it. Because again, you'll probably end up with blood and all kinds of stuff all over the apple, which isn't good, is it? No. Okay, so what kind of thing, if you can't use it for opening envelopes, or spreading chocolate spread, or chopping up an apple, what could you use your sword for? Killing people. That's kind of what swords are designed for, isn't it? Hey, Ted. They're used for killing people. He's just spied your sword, I think. Did he bring his own? Did he leave it at home? Oh, dear. Okay. Thank you. You can sit down now, Lucy. I'll take hold of the very sharp metal sword, which is very heavy. So, no, swords aren't designed for spreading, you know, chocolate spread. They're not designed for opening envelopes. They're designed for battle. They're designed for causing division. Jesus is choosing this as his metaphor. He could have chosen other things, but he chooses this. He's wanting to tell us that being a Christian, following Jesus, will bring division. That doesn't mean that it doesn't bring peace, but it will bring division. And what I'd like us to think about this morning is, in what ways does being a Christian bring division? Could you have a chat to the people around you and think about this question? It might be for yourself. You might want to think about Christians around the world, how it might bring division for them. It might be in with the relationships in your family, in your workplace. It might be division within yourself. In what ways does being a Christian bring division? Discuss. Okay, so what do you think? What are your thoughts, responses to this question? In what ways does being a Christian bring division? You might think that being a Christian is about bringing people together, about unity and harmony. But in what ways could being a Christian, or does being a Christian, bring division? Any thoughts from people in their discussions?
The first thing that we talked about was family.
Family.
There might be people in the family who are Christians and people in the family who aren't. And that can cause divisions, and sometimes it can be used as a weapon. You know, you call yourself Christian type of thing.
Ah, okay.
Another thing we talked about was actually different people doing Christianity differently in families can obviously cause division as well.
Okay, so within a family, differences of opinion, and also people using it to sort of say, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. There's lots of nods and smiles to that. Okay. Any other comments? Yeah. Jim.
I just heard a story this week from a colleague of being in a train, meeting another colleague, and they sat for the entire train journey talking about God. That's all. Just talking quite quietly. And somebody just from two seats down, as he was leaving the train, said, can you two not stop talking about God? It's really annoying. Even in our own country, just talking about God to Christians clearly causes division. And yet I can think of other train journeys I've been on, having to overhear other people's conversations that I would much have preferred not to hear.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Okay, that's a live example. Yep.
I've said how you spend your time.
So,
yeah, well, what you do on Sunday is the fundamental one, probably.
Okay, so, right, so, because there's so many different options of what we could be doing on a Sunday, and I guess that could come up in a family as well, couldn't it? You know, if one person wants to do football, or the other person wants to go shopping or whatever, you know, there's kind of division there, isn't there? Division of priorities or, yeah, time. Yeah, that's a good one. Kirsty, I've got the mic in front of you.
Okay. I think one thing that a Christian does bring you this thing is that when people say, you're a Christian, but you're still only human like everybody else. And I think some people don't think that, but they think if you pray to God, and he'll help you through situations, and sometimes it doesn't work for everybody. And that can sometimes cause a bit of division.
Right, so because it's not always that simple, is it? Not always that straightforward. Okay, that's a good one. Yeah, any other thoughts on division? Yes. Thank you.
The terrible global one, really. Asya Bibi, this poor woman, Christian, in India, Pakistan, sorry. And the way that I think it's probably millions of Pakistani want her killed. They want to see her publicly executed because she just stood against some Muslims, I think they were, who said they wouldn't drink out of the same cup as her. And how the conversation went, I don't know, but she is hated because of that. And the government is under threat even because of her standing for her Christian faith.
So we see, when we start to think about it, that believing in Jesus and following Jesus does bring division. In small ways, perhaps, some of the things we've talked about, or in much bigger ways. Things we're aware of around the world where there is division. And following Jesus brings a division. And actually, when I started to think about this and look into it, I realized that it's there throughout the whole of Scripture. Think about Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning. God separates the light from the darkness. It's fundamental to who God is to bring a division. He separates the light from the darkness. He separates the chaos from the order. He brings order out of chaos. This job of separating, of being a judge, of being the one who can make those decisions, is fundamental to who God is. So it's not surprising, it seems surprising to us, but perhaps it's not surprising that Jesus comes and he brings a sword and he brings a division between light and darkness, between chaos and order, between death and life. It's fundamental to who God is, it's fundamental to who Jesus is. And then in Hebrews, this passage came to mind as I was preparing, Hebrews 4, chapter 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Jesus comes with a sword because he's got some work to do, because there's some dividing that needs to happen. Things deep within us, soul and spirit, joints and marrow. I'm not a butcher, and I've never experienced being a butcher. It wasn't top of my list for work experience. Although somebody in my class did go to an abattoir, no idea why. But he went to an abattoir anyway. I didn't go to an abattoir or a butcher's. But I'm aware that to do that kind of work of chopping joints and, you know, marrow and muscle and cutting through that, you need a very, very sharp instrument. It's no good having a blunt knife. This is a powerful, powerful message. The word of God, so that's Scripture, that's who Jesus is, the living Word of God, as we receive him in Scripture, as we receive him in our lives, is sharper than a double-edged sword, and it will cut through everything. Jesus comes with a sword to divide, because he needs to divide the light from the darkness in your life, because he needs to divide the chaos and the order, the death and the life. That's his role. That's who he is. And we think about Jesus as the comforter. Perhaps we think about Jesus as the blanket that kind of wraps around us and keeps us warm. And this is quite a different message. Division. The message here is essentially that Jesus as Lord comes with a sword. Sorry that it rhymes. But if Jesus is Lord, he uses the sword. And think about the ways that he might do that, the things he might want to cut through in your life. The things that this word of God, this powerful double-edged sword, might need to cut through in you. Because if you're anything like me, you're a stubborn person who gets things wrong, who makes mistakes, who so easily goes off course. And here comes Jesus with a sword. And there are some things he needs to cut off. And it might be to do with your thinking. It might be to do with your thought life, the way you think, that he needs to cut off some things in that. It might be to do with your attitude towards the people around you, your attitude towards church, your attitude towards giving, your attitude towards money. All these things, Jesus may want to come with a sword. Because if Jesus is your friend and he just tells you what you want to hear, that's one thing. But Jesus is more than that. Jesus is Lord and King. So there's going to be some uncomfortable things. Jesus says, if you abide in me, then you will grow fruit. But he also says that there's going to be a time to chop some things off. That actually there's going to be a time that it needs to be cut. That he's going to come with his sword and he's going to cut through some things. Your habits, the things you do daily, the things we do daily. Maybe Jesus wants to come with a sword and say, uh-uh. It's time we separate you from that. Jesus comes with a sword. If he is your Lord, if he's more than just your friend and your comfort blanket, then there are going to be some things that get cut off. And even in your relationships, and that's particularly what this passage deals with. And he's referencing an Old Testament passage that's particularly connected to the Jewish people, to the Israelites, saying that there's going to be division. Because if you imagine a Jewish family, one of them turns to Christ, that's going to cause huge division. Between even a family as small as five, he says in this passage, there's going to be division if people are going different ways, because following Jesus makes a difference in your life. So I want to finish with this. Will you bow down before Jesus and his sword? Are you willing to bring your life before him and allow him to use his sword to separate? And think about how he does this work throughout Scripture. Think about that separating of light and darkness. Why does he do it? He does it for our good. Why does he overcome sin and death through the cross? To separate us from death. But death creeps in all the time. It's there throughout the New Testament that death isn't just something that happens at the end of our life. Death is always around us. Sin and death are on a continuum. You may remember me writing that on a whiteboard up here a few months ago. Sin leads to death. But Jesus has made a way through death to life for all of us. But we're going to have to allow him to use that sword and to bring that division. And that division might be in ourselves in these ways. That division might be in our relationships with other people. And we have to accept that that's part of following Jesus. It's going to bring division. Division in our priorities. Division maybe even within our families and division within ourselves. But it's for our own good. It's because God loves us so much, he won't just leave us as we are. He'll come with his sword and he'll say, it's time to cut that off. You need to cut that out. And he'll use that sword. And he'll do it through his word, sharper than a two-edged sword. And he'll use it to divide and to make that difference. So I want to pray for us now that we'll be ready and willing to allow him to use that sword with us. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, would you highlight for us the places in our lives, in our souls, in our spirits, in our thoughts and attitudes that need to be put before your sword. The things you need to cut. The things you need to cut away. The things we need to cut out. Jesus, we know that you are the God of peace. But in order to bring peace, some things need to be cut out. And so we bow before you as Lord. Not just as Jesus our friend, but as Jesus our Lord. We bow before you. And Lord, we know that we can trust you. We can trust you with this sharp implement because you are God who is good. You are the God who came to earth and gave himself for us. So if you are willing this morning, if you're sat here and you're willing, if you trust him, would you lay out your life before him and say, Lord, what do I need to cut? What do you need to cut away, Lord, in my thinking? What do you need to cut away in my attitude? What do you need to cut away in my habits? What do you need to cut away in my relationships? Come, Lord Jesus. Bow before you as Lord. We submit to you as Lord. We lay our lives before you. We invite you in, Lord, to our thoughts, to our heart. For you are the God who brings light out of darkness. Lord Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We bring before you our brothers and sisters throughout the world who face persecution because of their faith. And we pray, Lord, for those nations and those places where your gospel brings division. That they will see your power mightily at work. That they will know you even in the midst of pain and conflict. That they would testify to your goodness and your love. That even within conflict and persecution, you are the God of peace. Peace beyond our understanding. We ask all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.